Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody, to Stage Right, the show that seeks the conservative voice in theater. And here's your host, Robert Cooperman. Well, I'm working on it. I'm working on getting that introduction to work perfectly. Maybe I should spend a little time doing some kind of a voiceover like I did with the old introduction. But who's got that kind of time? Robert Cooperman here, welcoming you to another wonderful Sunday at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Stage Right. Stage Right is the show that looks at the theater world today and says, where are all the conservatives? Where's the conservative point of view? I don't see it. Well, it's out there, folks. And we know because we have interviewed some playwrights who very much have a conservative point of view, and I have some exciting news about one of them in just a minute. But first, I want to remind you that we are, as always, supported by our friends at Xander Business Group. They are people who provide social media monitoring and online risk assessments for your child's online presence. The internet never forgets, and we all know that from how many times we see people's paths coming up on Facebook or Instagram or Pinterest or whatever else is out there, Twitter, don't forget Twitter, people's paths coming back to haunt them. Bad enough that it haunts people who are job seekers, right? Because bosses go in now and employers will go in now and take a look at what's on the Facebook page. They see something they don't like, well, looks like they're going to offer that position to some other candidate. But it's even worse for the kids, because if you have an underage, a minor child somewhere in your life, you want to protect him or her from what could be stalking him or her out on the internet. So you want to make sure that you contact Xander Business Group, because right now it's even more important for parents to take a proactive role in protecting their child's safety and online reputation. So how do you get Xander Business Group? First of all, you spell it right. Xander with an X, X-A-N-D-E-R, Business Group. Xander Business Group, that's what they're called. They're reached at 760-865-9614. Or you can email them at info, at Xander Business Group. That's all one word, Xander with an X, businessgroup.com. If you want to reach me, I can't help you with online, with your child's online presence, but I could talk to you about theater. You can give me a call at 347-884-9659. That's 347-884-9659. Or you could write to me at StageRightAudio1, all one word, StageRightAudio1 at gmail.com. Okay, I said I have some exciting information about a person who we interviewed. You may have recalled back in, I think it was March or April, we interviewed a playwright named Hank Kimmel. Hank Kimmel. And Hank had he has a number of plays out there, but the two that we focused on were Class Dismissed, and Fairy Tale Ending. Fairy Tale Ending was the other one. Well, I've got some exciting news about Hank Kimmel that was put on Facebook today. Hank is having a reading of a new play called Unbillable Hours. Unbillable Hours this Wednesday at the On Stage Atlanta. Let's see, it's a on-demand reading of Unbillable Hours. The host is the Working Title Playwrights, and I believe this is Hank's group. But don't quote me on that, and Hank, if I'm wrong about that, I apologize. This is Wednesday, August 12th, 2015, at 7:30 p.m. Where is it? On Stage Atlanta. That's 2969 East Ponce de Leon Avenue. P-O-N-C-E space D-E space L-E-O-N. If you go there and drink from the water fountains, you will live forever. Ponce de Leon Avenue in Atlanta, Georgia, 30030. It's near the International Farmers Market, about halfway between Avondale and downtown Decatur. $5 at the door, unless you're a Working Title Playwright member, then it's $10. No, then it's free. If you need to find out more information, contact Hank Hank at HWKIMMEL. That's HWKimmel at gmail.com. You don't need reservations. It's being directed by Joan McElroy. It's with Travis Draper, Robin Bloodworth, Caitlin Foley, and Bob Putnam.
What's it about, Rocky?
Oh, let me tell you what it's about. With the city paralyzed over the construction of a $1 billion football stadium, a young attorney who's been trained to do as he's told realizes he's in a position to control the future if he's able to sort out the voices and visions that vie for his allegiance. Well, we'll have to talk to Hank and find out if this is any kind of I'm really good at this hosting stuff, aren't I? This is any kind of, it has a conservative bent at all. But try to be there if you're in the Atlanta Avenue. Stop by 2969 East Ponce de Leon. I just like saying that, Avenue in Atlanta. Now, if you're in New York, you're going to want to come on August 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. You want to be at the Electra Theater. That's where the elite meet. You want to be at the Electra Theater, which is 300 West 43rd Street. That's on 43rd and 8th. And that's at August 17th. And the reason you want to be there is because it will be the premiere of the New York New Works Theater Festival. As I have mentioned on this show before, one of the plays being produced has been written by yours truly. The play is The Flower Stand. It's about 20 minutes long. It stars me and my daughter Heather with music by my son Matthew. So if you would like to come and see what nepotism is all about, or if you want to see a pretty good play that made the cut to be in the first round of the New York New Works Theater Festival, you'll want to come out to the Electra Theater, 300 West 43rd Street, on the evening of August 17th. Now, if you go online and get tickets, you have to write in what show you're going to see. Please make sure you write in The Flower Stand, because then I get credit for it. Now, what does that mean? That means is if I don't get 20 people to show up on August 17th, then I have to pay for any amount up to 20 that I did not sell. It's a tough go, folks, for somebody who lives in Columbus, Ohio. But I'm originally from Queens. I've got friends in New York. I've invited, told everybody I could, my aunt lives in New York. My sister's going to be coming. She lives on Long Island. But I've told old friends, old high school chums. I've tried to get people who haven't only known me through this show. I've asked David Marcus if he would be able to come. I've asked Kara Bluen. I'd love to meet all these people. So if you want to come put a voice with a face now, even if it's this face, come on down to the Electra Theater for the New York New Works Festival. And because I'll be at the festival and in New York starting this weekend, we will not have a show next week. So once again, do not listen in next week, because we will not have a show next week. That's not funny. All right. Also, one other thing, you know, by the time we get done with all this intro stuff, never get to the show. But don't forget that you can listen to my show 24/7. You just have to go onto the blogtalkradio.com site and put in the search engine, put in Stage Right, and you will find my archive. And you can go in there and listen to any of my past shows. And I've also put my archive on Facebook. So if you go to my page, which is now simply called Stage Right, you will find a posting there that has my archive. So, you know, you don't have to, Sunday mornings, you don't have to get all nervous because you want to get everything done in time so that you can sit down at 1:30 and listen to the show. You don't have to burn the toast. Yeah, you don't have to tell the kiddies, go out and play, Stage Right's coming on. You don't have to ignore your husband or wife. You don't have to do that, because you can just listen on the archive. And that's the easiest way to get me when I'm not live, and here I am live. Okay, so we have had a lot of stuff. By the way, this just in. That's my this just in sound effect. Hank Kimmel says that it's a libertarian message. So that'll work. And hey, If you want a libertarian and conservative message, you'll want to go to another one of my favorite Stagebook friends, and that is the Conservative Libertarian Fiction Alliance. This show needs to be longer because I got to get out all these plugs first, and then I can actually start talking. Okay, well, I haven't stopped talking, let's face it. All righty, so let's talk the debates. I know we've been talking about David Mamet. We'll get back to that, but obviously we have to talk about the debate. And I want to first talk about something that happened to me. May I share a little story about something that happened to me recently? Okay, so, you know, I don't have a ton of friends on Facebook, either as Stage Right or my Robert Cooperman site, but I have a number of them, and some are old acquaintances from college. Well, anyway, there's one person out there. I'm not going to name names. I don't want to get into that kind of a thing. There's one person out there I knew when I was in college, and that's umpteen years ago, of course. And, of course, this person lives in California. So by virtue of setting foot on the California border and crossing into it, you are a crazed liberal. Well, the night of the morning of the Republican debate, which was this past Thursday, this person wrote on Facebook, here's hoping. Okay, I'm quoting it as best I can. I know I got it pretty much all. I have blocked this person since, but this is what he wrote. Here's hoping that the Republican debate ends up like the end of Hamlet. Everybody dead. You hear that? And everybody dead was in large caps with many exclamation points. Everybody dead. So, first of all, I said, okay, do I talk about this on my show? Well, obviously, there's a theater connection, right? Hamlet, an obvious theater connection, so take care of that. So that gives us the leeway, to the permission to talk about this. So I have to say, I thought that was over the top and outrageous, you know. Everybody's worried about Donald Trump, you know, calling Rosie O'Donnell a bunch of names, which I will tell you, I love that moment. You know, I was cheering for Trump on that one. But to wish people dead whom you do not like. Now, have you heard anybody on this show wish Obama dead? Have you heard anybody on this show wish Hillary dead? Have you heard anybody on Fox News wish them dead? I think not. But, all right, so this is a nobody, right, living in California. Right? But he puts it out there for everybody to read. I hope they all, they're basically saying, I hope they all die. So I wrote back. And you'll have to forgive me for maybe not turning the other cheek. But I will tell you, if I'm going to keep turning my cheek, my head's going to spin like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. So I wrote, I hope Hillary, Bernie, and Barack die too. And then I said, what a pathetic comment. Well, of course, that started, and not from this guy, but that started a bunch of people, can't you take a joke? Somebody needs a Snickers. So that was a joke. So I played right along. I said, I'm joking too. No, you're not. You called it pathetic. So, you know, this is the cover the left takes. Oh, we don't mean it. You know, it's like, oh, old Joe Biden said it again. That's just old Joe. Oh, Barack can't pronounce Corman. That's just Barack. Right? But when a Republican, like even if it's Trump or anybody, right, says something like that, ah, what a horrible person. See, that shows what he's really made of. In every joke, there's a truth. So finally, the person involved wrote back and said, you know, unfriend me if you don't like what I write. And I said, perfect. So I blocked him. And given his girth, that's a tough block. But I did. I don't want to hear it anymore. I've been unfriending people who are saying things. I mean, all you see are pictures of clowns, literal clowns, and people saying, look, it's the Republican candidate. They really give them a chance, right? They really give them a chance. There may be a couple of clowns in there, but there's some pretty serious people in there. But no, no. Hillary is not a clown. Bernie is not a clown. He was booed off a stage the other day. Did you hear that? He was booed off the stage. Wasn't able to speak because some lunatics were in there screaming, Black Lives Matter. Hey, I'm going to say something that's going to get me in big trouble, ladies and gentlemen. All lives matter. All. And that includes the lives of the unborn. They all matter. Okay? I'm sorry, blacks. You cannot appropriate that. All lives matter. That includes you, too. So I got to thinking with this Hamlet analogy here. And, oh, and by the way, I was told that my comment about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders was sad. Right. But it was okay for this guy to say, you know, everybody, all 16 of them dead, want them dead. Only joking. Didn't mean it. You know, can't you take a joke? All right. So I was thinking about all the ways that I heard the debate, the build-up to the debate, and then the actual postscript, if you will, of the debate. We're both, you know, on television, reading it, hearing it on radio. How often we put these things in theatrical terms. Now, you know, we always hear that the language of business is male-dominated, right? And that the language related, and that's a male-dominated thing. Just ask Ronda Rousey. So, you know, you're not supposed to say things like, we're going to run the ball down the court, because that's male-dominated. I don't know what I'm supposed to say. We're going to stir that batter really good. You know, I'm not sure what one is supposed to say. But so now we have the debate couched in very theatrical terms. And I posed a question today on my Stage Right Facebook page. Is there anyone who can help me with understand what we mean by theater in this sense? And what do we mean by theater? Are we right in calling the debate theater? And if it is, heck, it was a bunch of Republicans up there. Is this conservative theater? Is this what we mean? Well, I don't know. But let's take a look back at as they were preparing for the debate. This is USA Today. Listen to their opening paragraph in an article by David Jackson on August 6th. And the article is GOP 2016 Hopefuls Gather for First Debate. I'll tell you, you got to give USA Today a lot of credit for a title that catches your eye. All right, but here's what it says. The stage is set. The players are assembling. And the plot focuses on a character who has never been in this kind of show before. Not, that struck me right away. The rest of the article, I mean, who cares what he has to say? But he sets it up as a theater piece, right? A theater piece. All right, well, here's now Charles McNulty from the Los Angeles Times. This was after the debate titled from the Culture Monster, the LA Times feature. And his title is First GOP Debate Was More Like a Reality TV Show. Okay. He writes, the first Republican debate took the form of a reality TV show contest with a novel theatrical twist. Each of the 10 leading candidates competed to become the true protagonist of a GOP primary contest. So overcrowded, there was an earlier debate featuring 7 other contenders with lower poll numbers, a discounted happy hour prelude to the much coveted primetime bacchanalia. Okay, so anybody who knows anything about theater is going to hear the commentary, theatrical twist, protagonist, and then bacchanalia. Wow. All righty. We have more. Just before the official start of the big shindig, the Fox moderators, dominated by Megyn Kelly's eyelashes. That's a useful comment. How come he can say that? How come? Isn't that sexist? I thought that was sexist. Maybe not. I guess if a left-winger says that it's not sexist, there's a point to it. There's that, of course, us dumb flyover state inhabitants, we don't understand. Okay? So I'll let that pass. Anyway, dominated by Megyn Kelly's eyelashes, bantered awkwardly with the political hopefuls who were lined up as though preparing to perform Seasons of Love from Rent. But what's underway, this political drama presented by Fox News Channel and Facebook, didn't follow the zingy rules of Broadway musicals. The playbook came straight from Bravo's Real Housewives franchise with Kelly and her sidekicks, Chris Wallace and Brett Baer, looking to stir controversy at every opportunity to keep viewers from tuning out. You know, you just wonder, besides all of these pop culture and theatrical metaphors, okay, so maybe politics or theater is to politics what sports metaphors are to business. Oh, I hope somebody out there is writing this down, because that's very good. And maybe that's what it is. Anyway, so what we have here is a lot of references to theater and couching, framing this whole event in theater. Now, let's face it, there's something theatrical about it, right? But I wonder, are we using that term lightly? What do we mean by theatrical? What's theatrical? That's the question, you know? It didn't take place in a theater, per se. So is it theater? Is it drama? We'll get to that. Okay. There's one other article here that I want to just look at a bit of. This is from the New York Times, the paper of record, The Gray Lady, A Foxy, Rowdy Republican Debate by Frank Bruni. Now, Frank Bruni, who admits he's no friend of Fox News, actually says in this article that he's going to write something. He says it was riveting. It was admirable. It compels me to write a cluster of words I never imagined writing. Hooray for Fox News. Right. So whereas Charles McNulty seemed to have a little problem with the fact that they were asking what these stirring controversy, I thought that's what this debate was supposed to be about. Frank Bruni at least says that was the best thing of it, because the narrators, the commentators, the leaders of this, Brett Baer and Chris Wallace and Megyn Kelly's eyelashes, they were probing and trying to hit at the weak spots of every candidate. Okay. Here's what he says, though. Did Fox take this combative approach because it was theatrical? Because it promised tension, promised unease, and was a sure route to reddened faces and raised voices? So we're getting a picture that theatrical, by the very nature of the context that we've read here, theatrical means debate, exciting, conflict. Hey, that's pretty good, though, right? That's pretty good. But I wonder if we're using the right terms. So I decided I'm going to take a look at a source. I've got a book here called The Art of Theater, Then and Now. The reason I know about this book is because I'm going to be teaching a course about theater and the theatrical experience at Ohio University this coming fall. And this is the textbook. Is this the best textbook on theater? I doubt it. However, one of its authors, Eric Ramsey, is a playwright in residence, Ohio University. So I guess we have to use his books. But that's okay. But the question is, what is theater and how does it differ from drama? So here's what this book says. It says the word theater comes from the ancient Greek word theatron. And yes, those of you who speak ancient Greek, I know I'm not pronouncing this correctly, which means seeing place. The word drama comes from the ancient Greek verb dron, which means to take action, to do, to make, or to accomplish. Based on that alone, folks, was this theatrical or was this drama? I wonder if we're using the theater or theatrical in a way that we really mean drama. Because drama, according to this, if we take the Greek meaning, is all about action. And there was a lot of action on that stage, especially when Rand Paul and Chris Christie got into it a little bit. That was fun. We liked that. We did sit on the edge of our seat. That was riveting, unless you're someone like all the left who came in with the desire to dismiss this as a bunch of clowns. In his book, The Empty Space, these meanings still apply today. Theater is about an audience witnessing a production or a theatrical event. See, I don't know if that helps. Whereas drama is a form of theater that tells a story in which characters set out to do, to accomplish, or take some sort of action. Okay, so it's a little different than what we first said. If we go by the strict Greek analogy or the strict Greek definition, So what we have is theater being the place where things, where this action is taking place, and drama being the action itself. But it's evolved a little bit to mean theater is about an audience witnessing or a production or a theatrical event. Okay. In his book, The Empty Space, English director Peter Brook states that all that is needed for theater to occur is an empty space and someone to walk across that space while someone else watches. Well, if that's the case, what we did have was theater here. So then the book goes on to identify that drama is a form of theater that tells a story, people, their actions, and the conflicts that result. Conflict is the key to the movement of a story. Okay. All right. Could we argue that there was a story going on? There was a story to be told. First of all, each of those gentlemen in the second debate, each of those gentlemen had a story to tell. If you listen to Ohio Governor John Kasich, he almost always talked about the story he has to tell, the story about Ohio being in the dumps when the Strickland administration had it, and then how it has improved drastically when he got his hands on it, which, of course, it did. I live here. I know. The book says, without a story, there may be theater, but not drama. Okay? So if we say there is a story to be told here, not 10 individual stories, then we have drama taking place in a theatrical setting. So again, I'm wondering, are we talking about theater when we say this is a really theatrical event? Or are we talking about drama? Is drama too pat a word? In other words, oh, that's really dramatic, which then tends to not take on much of a meaning. Theatrical, it almost makes us sound a little headier, doesn't it? It says both theater and drama have three qualities that make them unique art forms. First, theater is always live. Okay? Check. Let's check this against the debate. Check. Two, they are always about human beings. Check. I hear those of you on the left now saying, no, there were no human beings there. Of course, the left believes there are no human beings at the point of conception. Third quality that makes theater and drama unique is that they are often collaborative forms of art, requiring more than one type of art and artist to produce. Okay, well, we know that backstage there were the technicians and the sound people and the lighting people and the commentators and the podium placers and all that stuff. They were standing behind lecterns, actually. All that stuff going on. But was it art? Or was it drama? Or was it theater? Was this a piece of conservative theater? The book then goes on to talk about the categories of theater. Of course, there is one that's called political theater. It says, allows playwrights, directors, and actors to express their personal opinions about current issues, trends, and politics. This type of theater is a bully pulpit, an open mic, and a bullhorn that allows the artist to express ideas that are seldom heard in the mainstream media or in commercial theater. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily going on, but look, we had 10 artists up there, didn't we? We had 10 people who were attempting to tell a story at, given the parameters that they had, they were trying to tell a story, their own story, and the story, quite frankly, of modern-day America that has gone to H-E, double hockey stick in a handbasket by the likes of people like Barack Obama. And it would be a terrible thing to have this disaster continued by the equally disastrous, lying Hillary Clinton. But of course, she's not a clown. So we'll pick this up again in a couple of weeks. Now, in a couple of weeks, I'll be back from New York, and I'll give you a report on the New York New Works Theater Festival. I want you to come if you're in New York. I want you to wish me luck at the New York New Works Theater Festival. I'll play the old stage right conclusion music to end the show. Oh, yes. Did you miss that? If you missed it, well, here it is. Anyway, we'll be back in a couple of Sundays, and I'll report more on Facebook. Wish me luck in New York. Remember, if you're going to New York, come see the New York New Works Theater Festival, which is going to be at 300 West 43rd Street on 43rd and 8th, the Electra Theater. But anyway, this is Robert Cooperman wishing you a wonderful week. I'll see you in 2 weeks. I've said that. Remember, life's short, be conservative, and right now we are exiting stage right.